Good morning. You're listening to the Mighty 690 KGGF. I am Matt Jordan. Merry Christmas Eve here on this Friday. And of course, on a Friday in the 8 o'clock hour, we have Gary and Charles Skank with Skank Insurance. Good morning, guys.
Good morning. How are you this morning?
I'm doing good. Excited good. For Christmas?
Yes. Yes, we are. Thank you. And I have a verse from the book of Isaiah, verse 9. Chapter 9, verse 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And I just want to say Merry Christmas. And with Christ by our side, it can be an extra Merry Christmas for us. And I hope that you can find it that way in your own life today.
All right. A perfect scripture for the Christmas season. And now, Charles, what do you have for us this morning?
Good morning, Matt. Good to meet you, see you. Hope everybody's having a great Merry Christmas. This is a brown Christmas this year, right? Not a white Christmas.
Unless you're colorblind, and then who knows what color it is.
Right. But it's at least it's brown and warm.
Right.
It's no fun when it's brown and cold.
Yeah.
So brown and warm, we can count our blessings. But it's a beautiful day, and I hope everybody is enjoying being with their family, is enjoying good meals, gifts,
reflecting
from people from afar. And it's also the new year is coming up. We're celebrating making it through another year, and it's been quite a year, that's for sure. But one thing that is that needs to be thought about or discussed that many times is sort of glazed over or looked over or overlooked is estate planning.
Why do you think people put that off, Charles?
You know, my grandpa, he was, I don't know what age, but it was pushing 90 or above when he finally said, okay, I need to make some plans for when I exit this world.
Right.
For how, what I leave behind, where it's going to go.
Right.
And for years, his kids had tried to talk to him and said, Dad, you need to leave some instructions for how things should go. And he just sort of resisted that. There's a sort of a resistance to looking at this type of thing.
But
because
I can tell you why.
Why?
Well, you're putting yourself in the grave. You're placing yourself in the grave, and you're saying, all right, I'm going to die. And so when I die, here's what I need to happen. And that's a hard place to put ourselves sometimes. It's a hard place to put ourselves. People want to put that thought off. But you know, Charles, I may be the unusual one because at 20, 21 years old, I had my first child. And I thought, I am going to get a will. It wasn't because I had any money, because I probably had $29.96. But I had a child that if I and her mother wasn't here, I wanted to name the guardian or the caretaker for my child. And I'm the unusual guy, but that's what I did. It gave me a lot of peace of mind, too, knowing that if something happened to Ruth or I, that this person is going to take care of our children.
That's right.
And you grew up knowing that, Charles.
I did.
And you grew up knowing who the caretakers were. And it gave us peace of mind.
Yeah.
But it's not everybody is like me in that area.
It gave me a little peace of mind. I wasn't overly worried that something was going to happen to you as a child. But I just knew that, hey, here's this plan in place. In case something happens to mom and dad, here's who's going to be taking care of me.
Here's the parachute.
Yeah. And so sometimes we can put off something that's maybe difficult to face, but that doesn't make it go away. That
right.
doesn't make the reality change or not exist anymore.
If you look at your family tree, you'll see that most of it is in the ground.
That's true.
You've got two or three branches above ground, but most of it's in the ground.
That's true.
And so we're all going there. It's just a matter of when.
Right, right, right. And I'm sure we're just gaining popularity right now by talking about this, right? But this is the reality. And what are the consequences of continuing to put this off?
Well,
and not addressing it.
Well, something happens, and nobody knows what's supposed to happen, and maybe nobody knows who's supposed to be in charge, and
who is
confusion.
Left to, who is left to decide?
Yeah, it's confusion.
But who does decide at that point?
Well, the state will. Mm-hmm. The state will if there isn't a plan made.
So some judge,
yeah,
will say
appoint.
You get this and you get well, this.
Yeah, they'll appoint an executor.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I don't know all the legal terms. We're not attorneys.
No.
We don't even try to be.
No. So there will be a plan. There is a plan.
The state will have a plan for you if you don't fix your own plan.
Right. And what happens? What does that look like?
Well.
Probate?
Yeah. A lot of times it could be probate. Uh-huh. It's not always probate, but a lot of times it could be. Uh-huh. And that's it can be an expensive process, but probate is also a way of making it look fair from the state's point of view, fair, you know, equal to the children and whatever, but, it's better to have a plan.
Yeah. Yeah. You don't want the state's plan necessarily. You
right.
want your plan.
Right. Right.
So we've seen the effects of not having a plan. Many times children can feel like that's not fair. Maybe there's a child that lives out of state. There's one that lives by the farm. Dad dies and you know, the farmer, if he would have made a plan, he would have left more maybe land to the person living close by and maybe more cash to the person living out of state or whatever.
But right.
If the state decides that's not in the farmer's hand any longer.
Right. Right.
And so you can direct what happens beyond the grave by simply writing down and putting it in clear
legal form. Uh-huh.
Of what you want to happen.
Right. Right.
And now sometimes you can have a plan and still have some hurt feelings.
Yeah. Life isn't fair.
Yeah.
Life is not fair. That's just the way it is.
Yeah. And so sometimes fair is really hard to come up with, you know? Fair is really hard to, because like I said, you might have a child that lives close to the farm and works and contributes and does a lot. And you might have somebody that moved away and never comes back. And, you know, many times what happens is you have a son that stays on the farm and maybe the daughter gets married and moves somewhere else and she's not interested in the farm.
Right.
Something happens to dad. She wants cash.
Right.
And there's been times where we have helped settle up estates with life insurance. So maybe mom or dad can get life insurance. Something happens to them.
To help equalize the estate.
The daughter gets cash and the son gets land.
Right.
And everybody's happy.
Right. Happier.
Happier. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
One more thing that common mistake that we see, that we'll go to a break, but we see somebody will make, many times it's their firstborn son, the executor, they'll make him decide everything.
Yeah. We'll just leave it all to him. He'll figure it out.
Yeah. And
that's a lot of pressure.
That's a lot of pressure.
That's a lot of pressure.
Even if he's a great guy and super fair and is going to do the right thing, that's a lot of responsibility on him.
Right.
And if he's not a great guy, and you might think he's a great guy, but when he gets control of a lot of maybe assets or money that he hasn't had before, sometimes things can happen that you
right.
didn't see coming.
So to prevent that, Charlie, people should name, in my opinion, if they want to, let's say you have four kids and you want to split everything equal. Well, you can, on any checking account, savings account, financial accounts, life insurance accounts, IRAs, annuities, etc. Bank, they all have transfer on death or pay on death or beneficiary. And you can name all four of those kids equally. Mm-hmm. And furthermore, you can put in there equally as they survive per stirpes. So that means that if one of those children don't survive, there's only three surviving, but the one that's deceased left two kids, that one that's deceased, their share goes to those two kids. And so it don't cut out the grandkids. And the custodian of those accounts, whether it's a bank or a, or whatever that has that are holding those accounts, they're responsible to make sure that money is divided up equally between all the beneficiaries like the designation says. So it takes it off of the older son or whoever that mom and dad think will be so fair with everybody.
Yeah, you want to put that burden on an institution.
Right.
Because they're going to make sure that those instructions are followed, and they're a non-interested third party. They're not
right
on anybody's side, or they're just trying to do what followed the instructions.
And everybody fills out the form, and you might say, well, one kid lives in Connecticut and one kid lives in Alaska. It don't make any difference. We can all fill out forms all by mail, and it all happens. We just do it all the time. It's not a big deal.
That's right.
Not a big deal.
That's right.
All right, we're going to take a break, quick one-minute break, and come back, and we'll hear more from Skank Insurance here as part of Ask the Expert. And, of course, if you've got any questions, there's a number to text, 620-332-6878. We'll take a break. Be back here on the Mighty 690. Back here on the Mighty 690, it is Ask the Expert with Skank Insurance here on this Friday, a Christmas Eve. Merry Christmas Eve to everyone out there. And Charles, I'll hand it back over to you.
So another problem, we've been talking about common mistakes that people make when it comes to estate planning. And this is a fairly common one more these days. And that is that a trust will solve all your problems.
Yeah, a lot of people think, well, we've got a trust. Well, okay. So you have a trust. We're talking about a revocable living trust. And revocable means that you still control it. And so a lot of people say, well, I have a trust, so if I go to the nursing home, no. You control those assets. So those assets are still part of your estate if you go to a nursing home.
So they're not protected from the state if you were to go to a nursing home.
Right. 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 And Charlie, I lost my train of thought for a second.
Well, people will say, I've got a trust, and they set that trust up 20 years ago.
Yeah.
Maybe when their kids were minors, when their kids were, you know, small, and maybe they have a whole different setup now.
Right.
Maybe they have more property now. They have, you know, everything's changed, and just because they have a trust doesn't mean, you know, that was set up 20 years ago, that it's going to meet what they expect it to do today.
Right.
It's only as good. Well, another problem is a trust is only as good as the trustee.
Right. Right. You know, and what you'll hear coming from the people that sell trust, and we don't sell trust, but coming from people that sell trust or recommend trust, is they say, well, it's private. It's private. Nobody will know what's going on. Well, it is private as far as the courts go. There's no probate court. But it's not supposed to be private for the beneficiaries. to the beneficiaries, it's supposed to be transparent. So the trustee has a responsibility to be transparent to those beneficiaries, but they a lot of times that is not common knowledge, especially when those trusts are being set up.
So if I'm the trustee of your trust,
right, which I don't, which I don't have,
right, something happens to you, and the rest of my siblings are wondering, hey, what's going on?
Yeah,
here?
you have an obligation to set everybody down and say, look, guys, here's these accounts. Here's copies of them. You're welcome to look at them. Any questions, we'll talk about them. But you have that responsibility to the beneficiaries. And if I name a charity in that trust, you have a responsibility to that charity to say, look, here's my dad's trust, and he made the church here beneficiary to 10% of his estate, and we just want you to know we're working on this, and here's the records, and here's the stuff. And
I was helping one of our clients, a couple, and they had both of them had a second marriage. I think both of their I'm not sure where their other spouses were, but
they were in Texas. All my exes live in Texas.
Yeah. And she was worth several $1 million. And her husband really didn't have as much assets or money or anything. But she'd made him the beneficiary. And here he is in his 80s. And a good portion of her money was going to go to a charitable interest. And he was the trustee. And I told him, I said, you don't want to be the trustee on this.
Right.
All of these charities, once they find out that they're named in her trust, they are going to be coming to you, and he has a big accounting nightmare on his hands to get all these assets where they need to go. And I told him, I said, you don't want to be the trustee.
Right, right.
There's very little reward, and there's a big headache.
Right,
and
right.
And so they went and made some changes. Mm-hmm. And went and got a bank that had a trust department and made them the trustee.
Right.
And so I will say that a trust is only as good as the trustee.
That's right. That's right. And, you know, there's trustees that may have handled a trust and didn't realize what their responsibilities were at the time. And they probably did the best they could.
Yeah, sure.
And I don't want to throw them under the bus, but they are supposed to be transparent to the beneficiaries from the get-go. That's the truth of it. Now, why are we talking about this? We're talking about this, Charles, because it's family time.
Right.
People are getting together for Christmas.
Right.
The siblings are coming home, hopefully.
And we're trying to drive families apart.
we're trying to keep the wedges in the toolbox that drive things apart, and we're trying to keep them in the toolbox and trying to pull the family together.
Yeah,
where they can be nice to each other and considerate.
We want their next Christmas and their next Christmas after that to be a friendly and warm
yes,
thing.
Yes, yes.
And this is some of these mistakes in estate planning can keep that from happening.
That's right, and that's right, and that's the reason we're talking about it, because families are getting together. We don't want you to have to talk about all this during this time, but while families are together, it's time to think about, do I have everything done? Do I have transfer on death at the bank or pay on death at the bank? Does it have everybody listed down there?
And so let me ask, if let's say I have a house, some land, my car, some bank accounts, some life insurance, do I need a trust? Would you recommend, and I know you're not being an attorney or anything, but would you recommend that I get a trust? What would you recommend I do in that situation?
Well, your kids are minors, okay, in your
case.
Well,
let's pretend my kids are grown up. Because a lot of our listeners,
okay,
their kids are okay past that age.
So the kids are all grown, and you have minor grandkids, but you don't have, your children are all grown. My first recommendation would be to, if you're treating everybody equal, and that's, I would put everybody equal on different accounts, if that's what you want.
What about my house and land?
That, Well, you can fill out a, what we call a transfer on death deed that names all of the kids. They would share it equally, but that might not work if one or two of the kids are farming and the other two kids are in San Francisco flying kites or something, whatever they're doing in San Francisco. So it's complex, and everybody's situation is unique. And so...
Well, I think my point is many times a transfer on death deed for a house, and it can be done for a car, I believe, as well.
Well, you can. I think there's a place on a car title where you can name a second person or something, but okay. The cars are not near as big as...
Right, right. So if you
most of our cars aren't.
Right. You can have a house that's taken care of that's divided to your kids.
Yeah.
Your bank accounts and your life insurance accounts and your brokerage accounts can all be... And if that's done, how much more is there to do?
Well, it's that old dish that great-great-grandma had in that covered wagon.
Right.
You know, and...
Right.
I don't know how we're going to dice that one up, but...
Yeah, but that's... You don't want to really leave that to the courts if you...
No.
You know, you don't want the courts to have to decide which piece of furniture everybody gets or whatever.
Right. But it would help. It would help if there was beneficiary deeds... And transfer on death deeds and pay on death and beneficiaries are updated. And, you know, a lot of times I'm sure there's people that have died with their ex-wife still on a beneficiary because they didn't want to get they never got around to getting it changed.
Right.
And so there's just a lot of planning to do.
But much of the planning, what I'm trying to say is, can be done at very little or no cost.
Right. Right. Now, transfer on death deed is probably going to take an attorney and have to get it recorded at the courthouse. But pay on death at the bank and or beneficiaries, there's no cost for that. And so if you're listening out there and you want to know, you've got this life insurance, you've had it for 20 years and you don't know how it's set up, we'll talk. We'll help you with that. We'll get you bring it in. Call us on the phone. We'll get the company on the phone, and we'll figure out where it is, and if we want to change it, we'll help you get it changed. Don't matter whether we sold it or not. We can get it done.
And we help our clients with just nothing in depth as far as estate planning, but just common sense stuff.
Yeah.
With those questions all the time.
And one thing I would say is we always want to include a contingent or contingent beneficiaries. So you have a spouse, and that's your first beneficiary. We're always going to name a contingent beneficiary or beneficiaries, because otherwise that can be tied up in a court situation if your wife is not living when you die, and she's the only beneficiary. So we always want to name contingent beneficiaries.
That's right. That's right.
I will ask one question to you guys. You mentioned when we started not waiting too long. When would you suggest someone to come visit with you guys about any of this stuff? The moment you start a family, the moment you hit a certain age. I mean, I'm a single guy, but I own a house. So when would you recommend anyone get started with this?
You know, something can happen at any time. And
just a week before you die.
Just a week before you die. If you have assets... You know, you think your house will probably go to your parents. Maybe you want it to go to your sibling or a cousin or something like that, whatever. I just think it just needs to be done.
Give you peace of mind. It'll give you peace of mind if you get some of that stuff done. You'll know. You'll just have peace of mind knowing if something happens to me, that's going to happen that way, and that'll give you peace of mind. So, you know, a lot of people think I don't have an estate, but if you have responsibilities, if you have a home, if you have kids, you have an estate. You have something to be responsible for.
That's right.
The sooner the better.
That's right. That's right.
Good question.
You can find us at 2801 West Main, Suite A, right there in Independence, right down from Newton's True Value. Our phone number there is 620-331-8800, 620-331-8800. We're right here in Coffeyville at 802 West 8th. Phone number here is 620-236-6930. 620-236-6930.
And Charlie, we're not working today officially.
That's right.
Our offices are closed today for Christmas Eve. But if you want to call and leave a message, we'll get back with you. Thank you for having us on the radio this morning.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you guys for coming in. Have a great Christmas Eve and a great Christmas as well. Of course, this has been Ask the Experts with Skank Insurance here on the Mighty 690 KGGF.